Members will call the meeting of the Capital Investment Committee to order. Thank you for being patient with people delayed by the weather. So, Madam Chair, would you like to make some opening comments?
Yes, Mr. Chair. We have House File 270 as amended by the DE1 amendment before us, and I had quite a lot of detail the other day. I would just like to add two more things. Because there was some question about whether all of this bill has been vetted and visited, I thought it might be helpful for the committee to know that of the bonding projects that are in this bill, the number that have been toured at least once, I'm sorry to say some of these were probably three times or more, these are the projects toured at least once between 2007 and 2010. That are contained in the current bill, because we've had some concern about that. The St. Cloud Civic Center, the Rochester Mayo Civic Center, the Mankato Civic Center, the Red Lake School, the Minnesota State Academy School for the Deaf Residents, the Albert Lee Fountain Lake. We did a Red River Valley tour. We went to the Fort Snelling Upper Bluffs, Central Minnesota Regional Parks, what we called the Daler property, the National Sports Center, Minnesota Valley Regional Rail, the Duluth Port. We did a transit tour, and then we did a specific Red River Valley flood tour, Harriet Tubman, Silver Bay, Fergus Falls, Hastings, and Minneapolis Vets Homes, the Chatfield Center for the Arts, which was formerly known as the Potter Center for the Arts, Springbrook Nature Center, the Old Cedar Avenue Bridge, where I think 1,000 bikers met us, Invergrove Heights Swing Bridge and Heritage Park, Minneapolis Sculpture Garden, Ordway, Oliver Kelly Farm, Metro State Science Education Center, University of Minnesota campuses, Crookston, Morris, Duluth, and Twin Cities, tons of Minscue colleges, state trails, and far too many wastewater systems. And so of this bill, that is the amount of touring and visiting we have done. So We have spent a lot of time doing this. And then the one other thing I would like to mention is the local roads piece, because in past bills, we have always had local bridges, and there's a program for that. We were able to hand out a list the other day of which bridges are in the system. Local roads, historically, we've been less generous. And what we're told by MnDOT is, even were we to raise new revenue for roads, local roads are still, the burden is still great. And so I believe that as this year, you will see more dollars on that line. This year we have probably the largest amount that I can remember for quite some time. But I wanted to, just for the record and for this group, make clear that I hope the funding for that is dealt with in the same way where local governments' advisory committees are part of that. And so if I could, for the record, the funding for the local road improvement program that's provided here references the statute that creates the local road improvement program, which requires the establishment of an advisory committee for all funds not specifically appropriated by the legislature. And so we are assuming and hoping that MnDOT will consult with the advisory committee as this bill moves forward. I understand that this committee has met in the past to discuss the use of previous funds provided by the legislature to the local road improvement program, and I trust that consultation will continue. So with those opening comments, Mr. Chair, I believe there are you proceeding with testimony, or?
Yes, Madam Chair. Before we take the amendments up, we'll proceed with testimony. But before we do that, Representative Fitzsimmons, I know you were here on time, even though you came probably the furthest. And so, have you read the minutes?
Yes, I have, Mr. Chair.
Would you move them?
I'd move the minutes.
Thank you. All in favor of the approving the minutes on Tuesday, April 9th, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Carried. So, Madam Chair, we will have public testimony, and one person has signed up, Maureen Warren. She'll come down and give her testimony. Identify yourself for the tape, and go ahead and proceed with your testimony.
Good
morning, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Maureen Warren, and I currently serve as the Vice President for Special Projects at Lutheran Social Service. And my current work duties include leadership of our housing programs. And I appear before you this morning not to talk about a specific project, but to support the creation and allocation of housing infrastructure bonds to Minnesota Housing. I want to talk a little bit about LSS, a little bit about the youth we serve, and then a little bit about how we would use these bonds. Lutheran Social Service is the oldest and largest nonprofit in the state of Minnesota. We're getting ready to turn 150 in the year 2016. So we're less than a decade younger than the state. And we do 27 lines of service. We work with children, youth, families, seniors, and people living with disabilities. We work with homeless youth all across the state. Here in St. Paul, you may have had occasion to pass by or observe some of our projects. We run youth outreach programs here. We run a couple of safe haven houses. We run a project for single moms parenting. And all within just a couple miles from this Capitol campus. You may also be familiar with our Center for Changing Lives in South Minneapolis at 2400 Park Avenue. From there, we provide a number of services directly to the community as well as for the community public space that folks can use. Today, I want to tell you about the youth we serve in the city of Duluth and the area of Duluth and a project that we would hope to build with these housing infrastructure bonds. We run homeless programs in Duluth, and right now they are scattered across the city. We're in multiple buildings. We are tenants all over the place. We don't have any of our own property in Duluth. We would with this project. As we meet and get to know the youth that come out of homelessness, one of the first things we do is we try to understand where they've been living, how they've been surviving. Here's some of the answers we hear most frequently for where these youth are living. In their cars. Walking around all night so I don't need to go somewhere. Hiding in doorways to stay out of the wind. Couch surfing. Sleeping on a bus. Staying with older men who exchange sex for a place to stay. Or at one of the limited adult shelter spaces in the city of Duluth. We also seek to learn what the youth experienced before they became homeless and sought out our services. Often we have learned that they have left home for a number of reasons. The top reasons are as follows. They've either experienced or witnessed violence in their home, including physical and or sexual abuse at home. They have simply been told by their parents or their guardians that they have become too expensive and the family can no longer afford their care. Or they are told often that a new partner, boyfriend, girlfriend in the home simply does not like them, and the parent is making a choice between the girlfriend, boyfriend, a partner, and the child. Each homeless child we serve, of course, has a very different story. Katie is one story. Katie came to our Renaissance residential program at the age of 18. When she arrived, she had been in foster care since about age 7. She aged out exactly on her 18th birthday. She had graduated from high school, and she had found a friend and a job and moved into an apartment. Her job was as a kitchen helper in a local restaurant. After just 2 months of staying with the friend and meeting rent, the restaurant cut her hours. She was unable to pay her share of the rent, and her friend, of course, found a different roommate who could pay. So Katie was asked to leave and ended up in a shelter hosted by CHUM, the Coalition of Church Groups in Duluth. We also see remarkable resilience and resourcefulness of the youth that come to our program. We saw this in Katie. She joined us for 7 months at the Renaissance Transitional Program. During that seven-month period, she was able to obtain financial aid. She enrolled and began attending Lake Superior College. She found employment at another restaurant with better pay and more stable hours. And due to Katie's stability, her aunt invited her to come and live with her for an extended period in Duluth. I could tell you many stories of many Katies. If the proposed bonds in the bill today were to pass, LSS would submit a competitive application to Minnesota Housing and seek $3 million in bonding authority to help build our Center for Changing Lives in Duluth. The Center for Changing Lives in Duluth would focus on youth. It would bring together all of our youth programs and as well as create 20 units of housing for homeless youth. We would use the bonds to build the housing portion of the building, and we would leverage other funds. We would leverage approximately $7 million in additional privately raised capital, donations, and equity investment. We already started this capital campaign and are getting our first gifts. We're working on this project in partnership with the First Lutheran Church of Duluth, located at Superior and 12th. And they currently own the land and are willing to give us a portion of the land on a long-term land lease for $1. We would construct the building, we would move all of our services there, and we would operate all of our services out of one place. It would contain not only the 20 housing units, but a variety of services, including a crisis nursery, parenting classes, medical and wellness programs for homeless and runaway kids, truancy outreach and prevention, independent living skills for kids aging out of foster care, like Katie, and supervised visits for parents who have lost custody of their children. LSS is excited to get to work. We already are hard at work. We're enthusiastic about the ability of Minnesota Housing to make good judgments and decide the highest and best use of these infrastructure bonds. We watched them do the same last year. And we urge your support for the proposed housing infrastructure bonds. Thank you for allowing me to appear today, and I welcome any questions you may have.
Members, any questions for the testifier? Seeing none, Ms. Warren, thank you very much for your testimony. Members, will proceed to the amendments. We've already adopted the DE1 amendment, members, so we're going to move to the additional amendments that have been offered by that, and we'll start with the DE2 in your packets. Representative Dean, I think that's yours. And we'll start with yours, Representative Dean, because I think if this one passes, we don't have to do the other one. So
could make a short meeting out of it. We'll see how it goes down. I think Representative Erdahl wants to present this one.
Representative Erdahl.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Dean. We were discussing yesterday, the second year is historically the large bonding year. And frankly, nearly everything in this bill can wait until next year. But in my opinion, in the opinion of many, not the capital. We began the renovation, the restoration of this building last year with $44 million. And it is tied into a program that needs to continue. And for this year and for next year. Electrical, the exterior, the plumbing, it's all tied together. We have contractors, we have contracts that must be kept going, and failure to do so would result in higher cost and the possibility that we can never catch up. And the scaffolding will surround us for 50 years in our Capitol building. Now I ask in this bonding bill that we fund one thing that is essential this year, and that is our beloved Capitol.
Madam Chair, would you care to respond?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'm tempted to invite everyone in the audience to come forward and see whether they agree. I heard that everything else can wait but the Capitol, and so if they didn't hear, everything else in this bill is deleted, and we only move forward with the Capitol this year. We all are committed to getting this Capitol project done, but I'm hoping that people around the table feel that there are many other projects that cannot wait, and so I would encourage a no vote.
Any other questions, members? All those in favor of the DE2 amendment, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign?
No.
Motion does not prevail. We have an author's amendment of A8. Author's amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And these are a number of things that sometimes happens, work that happened between Tuesday and today. And I will briefly talk through them. They've been posted since yesterday morning, so presumably you've all had a chance to look at these. We had Representative Fisher and Representative Winkler before us talking about the property transfer in Woodbury. There is no controversy about Representative Fisher's bill, the Harambe conveyance to the Roseville School District. There was for the Representative Winkler bill, and so the Purpich Center, the South Washington County School District, and the and EMID, I think, have all met, and they have agreed on some language that you see in here. It basically says either Purpich or South Washington County can continue the program that's currently in the school. If no one wants to continue it, it's sold at fair market value, and it has a lot more detail than that, but that's the extent of it. And so that language is before you. In the flood list, we added the additional cities that we believe are high on the list, Oslo, Ada, and Montevideo. We gave the University Enterprise Laboratory, UEL, far less money than they had requested, and so we changed the language to reference that. How would that very smaller amount be spent? That's the incubator lab. We were understanding that the Department of Corrections had an agreement with the local government about the conveyance of property and discovered that, in fact, that local government had not yet agreed, and so we are deleting that language. And very regrettably, we're deleting for this year the school trust lands issue because as in the last 24 hours, there was an attempt to have some conversation with interested parties. The amendment we would have had to add this morning got quite much more complicated, and when it starts mentioning eminent domain, I think I don't really want to have a discussion this morning about eminent domain. So the only way out of that is to say we hope that in the interim there's more work done on that, and we're certainly open to it next year, but for now we have deleted it, and we've added those dollars to DNR asset preservation. We acknowledged, I think we acknowledged the other day, we had to provide for the general fund for debt service for the bonding that the testifier referenced, and that is provided for. Again, in the Voyagers project, we were giving them far less this year than they need, and so we've added more flexible language that allows them to make different choices with that smaller amount. There's some language about a bond sale that the department has requested. We gave St. Peter Security Hospital a little less than they had requested, and so they asked for slightly different language to reflect that smaller amount. Representative Clark wanted us to be clear that we give priority, I'm trying to think where that language is, that when they look at those housing infrastructure bonds, that they will provide supportive housing for homeless youth and for women and children seeking to escape exploitation and trafficking. And so we've added that advice to MHFA. And then on line 112, there is a slight change to the range airport. We delete everything after terminal. I'm not certain, is that just cleanup language or just apparently unnecessary language. So very briefly, I believe that describes all of the language in the delete all. I mean, not the delete all, the author's
amendment. Yes, Madam Chair. Any questions, members? All those in favor of the
Mr. Chair?
Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm actually looking on that last statement about the Range Regional Airport. You're deleting as that project is described, but then on page 23, oh, I see, then the next line down, okay, you go to 23. Thanks. I'm sorry.
Any other questions, members? Seeing none, all those in favor of the 8th Amendment, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. We'll now move to the A2 Amendment, I think. A2 Amendment, Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the A2 Amendment changes some language on, I believe it's page 5, subdivision 8, line 5.3, when all State University classroom renovation. The university wishes to change the language, if you look at page 5 and look at the amendment,
the language they'd like is the A2 amendment, of course. And I have talked to Chair Pawlowski about this, and I'm not aware of any concern or opposition, but if there is, it should probably come forward now. It just changes some language on how they want to be able to use those bonding funds in this bill, Mr. Chairman.
Madam Chair.
And Mr. Chair, I encourage support of the amendment.
Members, any questions on the amendment? Seeing none. All those in favor of the A2 amendment, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
One dissenting vote.
All right. Very good.
I will move to A7. McNamer. Representative McNamer.
Thank you, Chairman Ward. My amendment makes my bill a better bill. It integrates a bill that I was told about that already exists in the Commerce Department with my bill. And what it does is it makes it safer, and we're allowed to use the Commerce Department as technical support for energy conservation implementation. It also guarantees us that we will use the savings from energy to pay back all the loans that are required there. It's budget neutral, and the technical assistance provides that the providers that are doing the contracted work will put up a bond that will cover anything that doesn't, that is not covered by the energy savings. It's a good bill. It's good for our schools. After I saw the Cambridge Azanti schools, and they paid back their loans really fast, the money they saved then was used in their school for programs. That's what we'd like to see with this bill. Madam Chairman, or I'm sorry, Chairman Ward, any other questions?
Madam Chair, would you like to respond?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The program is already in the bill, and this is just further language that enhances this, and I encourage support.
Members, any questions?
Chairman Ward.
Representative Fiziski.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is just to, on the amendment. In your, if I remember the testimony that we heard, you talked a little bit about the involvement with the public and school boards. Could you explain that again to us? Is that part of this bill? Or
We've changed that now, so the bill is financed by the energy savings, the guaranteed energy savings.
Okay, so
Representative Fiziski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So that it eliminates the portion where you talked about
not
going around the taxpayer's right and things like that. Okay.
Excuse me. Representative Ward. Chairman Ward. There is one change I'd like to make. If you take a look on page 3, line 33, just before it says a school district may, there should be in brackets letter B there. Should be in brackets letter B.
So is that?
And that would make it.
Representative McNamer, is that an oral amendment?
That's an oral amendment. Yeah.
So, members, would you repeat that, please, Representative McNamer?
On the amendment, page 3, line 33. Right before it says A school, there should be in brackets letter B.
Members, everybody have that? Staff, that's okay. All those in favor of the oral amendment, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Hold the same sign. Carried. To the amendment. To the amendment. Questions, comments, concerns? All those in favor of the A7 amendment, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. We'll now be on the A6. Representative Moline.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And this is a bill that I had presented to this committee before regarding the requirement that we use American steel products in projects that are publicly financed. As of 2012, 53% of the U.S. steel market was comprised of foreign steel, meaning that now we are importing more steel than we are using American steel sources for. We know that domestic sources domestic sourcing provisions increase the job impact of bonding proposals and capital investment projects by about 33%. So, Chair Hausman, I don't know what your estimate was for how many jobs this bill would create, but, you know, if we were to add domestic sourcing provisions to this bill, we could increase those impacts by around 33%. Many states around the country already have domestic sourcing that require American-made steel. Preferences or requirements, those are Wisconsin, Alabama, Illinois, Indiana, Maryland, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Louisiana, as well as the federal government. So Minnesota would not be alone. Right now we don't have any preference or requirement in law. We usually do it on a case-by-case basis, as many as you, many of you will remember through the Viking Stadium, the Twins Ballpark, other big projects that we have. You know, that being said, and all those good things involved, I think that there's still some work that can be done on the language in the amendment. There are some state agencies and divisions of state agencies that have some concerns with implementation. And so I want to continue to work towards having the best bill possible. And so at this time, I would withdraw the A6 amendment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Moline. So the A6 is withdrawn, members.
And Mr. Chair, I'd like
Representative Moline.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer the A9 amendment.
So we're on the A9 amendment. Representative Moline, do you want to explain your amendment, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is within the same spirit and intention as the A6 amendment was. It simply just applies to the Range Regional Airport, which is my project in the bill. And I called the airport authority because some state agencies were expressing concerns with having American-made steel required. I called my airport authority to see if it really was a problem. And they said, no, it's not a problem at all. We always use American steel when we do renovation projects at the airport because they're required to do it through the federal legislation. MnDOT also, in the fiscal note for the original amendment, said it wasn't a problem at all because they also use only domestic steel sources because through federal legislation they're required to do to use domestic steel. So, you know, although I'm hesitant to go down this path and doing it a project-by-project basis, I think that this is, you know, one step towards having an actual good law in place in Minnesota where we're utilizing our domestic sources of products and putting Minnesotans and Americans to work with taxpayer dollars rather than sending our taxpayer dollars out of state. So this amendment simply applies to the Range Regional Airport Authority.
Thank you, Representative Moline. Madam Chair, would you like to comment?
Mr. Chair, I encourage support of the amendment.
Thank you. Representative Stavinsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question kind of goes on the portion, if you look on page, well, it'll be actually on 22 is where the language is, when it comes to the furnishing of the project, the Range Regional Airport. Would your amendment affect that furnishing portion as well? So when we're talking about folding chairs and the purchase of light fixtures, would that be considered? So we'd have to source. I mean, because I'm a little worried about, because you look any store, most, I don't know if those things are even made in the United States when it comes to some of those products and ability to even source them. Do you have any? If you're unable to buy everything in America that'd be out of steel, do you have the ability to just not buy? I mean, if it's not even made, is a would that somehow hamper your project?
Representative Moline.
Mr. Chair and Representative Swidzinski, the amendment cites the federal public law, and there are exceptions available in that public law, and that is the law that the Airport Authority already follows when they do their renovation projects because they're required to do so whenever they receive federal funding. So this is a language that they said that they were comfortable with, and yes, there are certain exceptions available under the federal law.
Representative Swidzinski. Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Moline, would you care to out which organizations and which state agencies don't want to use American steel in their projects? I'd like to know so that I can remember as their particular projects come forward. I mean, this makes simple sense to me that your A, whatever, which one was it? The A6 really should have gone forward, and I'm just wondering, is it pipe? Because we do a lot of piping. Is it structural steel that these organizations or these agencies don't really want to use?
Representative Moline.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Mahoney. You know, like I said, I want to continue to work with the agencies to find some language that will work. In my A6 amendment, I did add the word structural, so it wouldn't have included small components and nuts and bolts and those sort of things. One of the concerns is with the implementation of the language, if it's done sort of city by city or project by project, and maybe we can find a solution where there would be a more centralized source to sort of implement the plan. I do think the concerns are a little blown out of proportion, especially after having spoke with my local airport that said it was absolutely no problem at all. But that being said, you know, that's why I've scaled down the amendment today and hope to work towards language that everyone can be more comfortable with before we move forward.
Representative Mahoney.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Moline, you're very gracious not to embarrass these particular organizations and state agencies publicly, which I think they really should be. I really do. But I certainly hope that doesn't hinder you from speaking privately to the chairs and other members that might be able to call some of these organizations and state agencies out on the carpet. If they think Romanian or Yugoslavian or Chinese or Indian steel is that much better than American steel, they should be able to defend that particular position. So kudos to you for being gracious. I will refrain from saying what I think of the others.
Thank you, Representative Mahoney. Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to Representative Moline, if the airport has said that under federal law they already have to do this, it certainly begs the question, what is the need for this amendment?
Representative Moline.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Davids, they're required to do it when they receive federal funding, and so they always just do it. This is coming from state bonds, of course, and we don't have any language that requires them to use American steel. So that's why, Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions or comments, concerns, members? Representative Dean, Matt.
Thank you, Representative Ward and Representative Moline. As you move forward, I hope just when you're looking at your amendment for the floor on how you want to craft your amendment for the floor, what relative to foreign steel, what I would be interested in looking at is the other states that have adopted this in their exact language that they've adopted within their state statute, and if they put that in within a blanket purchasing legislation or if it was a specific to bonding and construction. And if it was very, so that if you're going to do that for the floor, that you have that kind of nailed down exactly, if you're expecting votes and support, that's probably the most important thing that we would look at.
Any other questions, members? Okay, we're going to vote on the A9 amendment. All those in favor of the A9 amendment, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign?
No.
Motion carried. Members, there is an A1 amendment, this amendment was added in transportation, but the engrossment didn't get to us, and so I said that we are not going to take this up. It's going to be taken up in another committee, so we're not going to take up the A1 amendment. Madam Chair, do you have anything to add
yes,
to that?
Yes, Mr. Chair. This just came to our attention that this was added in transportation finance, but because we never received an engrossment, we didn't see it until last night. And we haven't had an opportunity. We have a little bit of a sense from some of the transportation people in the audience, but we think we need a little more time to understand the source and what the implications would be. I've asked, I know Representative Carlson normally doesn't like us to add amendments in his committee, but I thought if we at least looked at it here, you could give me feedback if you do your own research about this. before we are in Ways and Means on Tuesday, and of course in that case we would draft a clean amendment and post it so that the public could understand and that you would have an opportunity to determine its advisability.
Any questions, members? Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, do we have copies of the A1 amendment around here?
It's in your.
Should be in your. Representative Mahoney, they should be in the folder. No?
I did not see one.
Some have, some don't.
Good chair.
Please share, members.
And Mr. Chair and Representative Mahoney, drafted to it's a House File 226, so we just put it in your packets so you would know it existed, but it's not even drafted to this bill. So.
And Representative Norton, you want to speak to this? I think this is from you, so if you want to speak to it.
Yes, thank you very much. We didn't catch this until too late to make deadline. As Chair Hausman mentioned, this bill was heard in transportation. There was absolutely no problem. We put the amendment on. It passed with full support of the entire committee. So it isn't controversial, but it does help with some of the very smaller communities to be able to qualify for the roads and bridges funds. So look it over and hopefully we can put it on in Ways and Means without any problem. But I appreciate the not making the deadline, and I apologize for I just assumed it was the engrossed version and didn't look that closely till too late.
Representative Norton, that's happened a couple of times, so no problem.
And Mr. Chair, in fairness, when I checked with MnDOT this morning, they did point out that the more you broaden opportunities for this program, there is the potential, of course, of less for some of the other bridges that might have been eligible. I think that's the thing you'll want to check out with your local organizations.
Representative Davids?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to make sure that Representative Hausman doesn't have any fears about Ways and Means, we put on major amendments in Ways and Means, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Thank you, Representative Davids.
This will be just kind of a nothing amendment to put on.
Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chair, just a little clarification. The question that I usually ask is if that language has been heard in a previous committee, so that we're not to put in a position taking things up that haven't been heard previous to that. So a little correction to what Representative David said. But yes, there are sometimes some major amendments, but they are amendments that have been taken up at least in previous committees.
Thank you for that clarification, Representative David.
Well, Mr. Chairman, now we'd be setting another new normal because we would be taking up an amendment in Ways and Means that we had not heard, so maybe we do need to hear it now because, I'm just looking out for the integrity of the Ways and Means Committee.
Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chair, the way I would view that is that the Transportation Committee did act on it and referred it, and that's what I was referring to. There's been previous discussion in previous committees, and there's been discussion even here to a degree in this committee this morning.
Thank you for sharing your amendments and your thoughts, members. Anything else before we do have a technical amendment. Representative Dyson, do you want to address this technical amendment?
Don't demote you.
You know, at least you didn't call a senator.
Yeah. Ms. Dyson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And actually, I just wanted to, it's not to make recommend an amendment. It's just letting you know of a typo correction in the A8 amendment. The line reference is wrong. On page 2, line 25 of the A8 amendment, it says page 38, line 22. It should have said 32 because it's inserting the bond sale schedule number into the bond sale schedule section, not into the middle of the Oliver Kelly Farm language. So I just want to let you know. We'll just make that as a technical correction, but thought I'd just let you know.
Madam Chair.
And Mr. Chair, we'll also make the correction on the spreadsheet under the Amateur Sports Commission. It is clearly not the National Spots Center, but the National
Both technical amendments noted, members. Anything else? Comments on the bill? Is there any public testimony for or against the bill? We already had some, but anybody else? Okay, seeing none. Any last comments, members? Madam Chair?
I would appreciate your support.
So, members, we're going to vote on the DE1 amendment as amended. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign?
No.
Motion carried. There's no other business. Excuse me. Oh, yes, there is. I'm sorry. We have another bill that we're going to just review, members. Madam Chair, do you want to walk?
Mr. Chair, I will move House File 1070. As you can imagine, this is a vehicle bill. We like to sort of park things at various places because of the nature of our process, and we're usually encouraged to be prepared for out of the ordinary things. I don't think I've ever had to use one of those, but I'm always encouraged to do it. So I would move House File number 1070, and then, Mr. Chair, I would move the A1 amendment, because when you do this, Representative Carlson always makes very clear to us we're not spending money twice. And so the point of the A1 amendment is to say if an appropriation is enacted more than once, the appropriation must be given effect only once.
Okay, members, we're going to vote on the A1 amendment. Are there any questions on the A1 amendment? Seeing none. All those in favor of the A1 amendment, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Carried. Now we'll vote on the House File 1070 as amended. Any questions? All those in favor of House File the motion will read, we're going to vote on House File 1070 as amended and move it to Ways and Means as amended. All those in favor of that motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Carried. Now, in my haste of saying there was no other business prior to that, I don't think there is. Representative Dean. Matt.
I just want to just kind of put on the record as the bill goes from our committee onward that there is within this a significant policy change stated by the chair for bonding, that we are moving to an every year bonding bill. I don't know that the previous chairs, at least on our side, my time here, have seen that. That would be a significant change. And the reason that we do bonding bills in bonding years, I think there's a custom for that, and there's probably good reason for that. Reason that we do our budget in the budget year, and then also that we reflect and we have the ability to have members visit these sites, and the importance of actually going to the sites and looking at them is important. Representative Hausman brings up the point that many of these have been viewed in the past. They've not been seen by the folks on the committee. We have several freshmen on the committee that will not have the opportunity to do that. We think that that is certainly part of the process that should be followed, and I don't want to let that go by without mentioning that our due diligence for the committee, if we are changing that, we might want to look at the way that we structure the committee and structure tours and structure the analysis of the specific projects that we do in moving forward. And also, if we're moving to an every year bonding bill, do we do a big one and a little one, or do we do the same size one for both years? I think that there's certain expectation from the agencies and in the construction field and from the legislators that this is new, and if this is now the policy of the committee, that they would certainly reflect that. That's certainly not their expectations or their communications with us or the committee members in moving forward with this bill. So I think that gives many legislators a lot of pause in moving this forward in this way. I think that it was kind of put forward as a matter of fact that we just do bonding bills every year. I would strongly disagree with that. I disagree with the policy of that and favor the tradition and the experience that we've had thus far in doing bonding years and bonding bills and bonding years. So you probably will hear more about that moving forward as this bill moves closer to the floor. The caution that we have is one of prudence and also one of our diligence in terms of the our budget and also fiscal responsibility for moving ahead. So I just wanted to put that on the record before the bill actually leaves here and goes to its next committee, and I'm sure we'll be hearing lots more debate about this, not just the size and shape of the bill, but also the process. So, Mr. Chair, I appreciate your second for letting me put that on the record.
Madam Chair?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's very important for the public to know that as we write bonding bills, we do only what our debt service guidelines allow. I mean, we're very, very careful about responsible investment in that way. I have always challenged the myth when it is presented. We have, for as long as I've been part of this committee, have had bonding bills every year. And the only two times that in my memory that we didn't, one, when Representative Krinke chaired, and believe me, it was not Representative Krinke's fault. He passed a bill in the House. It was the Senate that failed to act. And so that year there was none. And then one year when I chaired, when the bill was on the table the last night, Representative Kelleher was the speaker, and we ran out of time. In all of my years of being associated with this committee, those are the only two times we have not had a bonding bill. And in fact, I cite frequently that when I worked as the minority member with Representative Dan Dorman from Albert Lea, that both of the years he wrote bills as robust as the one you have in front of you for 2 years in a row. So though that myth keeps getting repeated, it doesn't help us. And frankly, audience, there's a lot of work between the time we move it out of this committee and through Ways and Means to get the 81 votes that this bill requires. It only will happen if all of the people who have a concern about this bill are part of the conversation. Do you believe it's unnecessary? Then do nothing. If you believe that passing this bill and getting it signed into law is important to you and your community, you have got to be part of this conversation. It will only happen if the entire state is part of the conversation in the next couple of weeks. And I can't encourage that strongly enough. We've done our work here, but it is a small part. We truly, truly, truly are in partnership with the citizens all over the state as we move this bill forward. I know there are political points to be made. I am certainly a realist. I wish that were not the case. To me, I have to tell you, I'm kind of a true believer in this infrastructure funding stuff. And so I wish it were above politics, but I know political points will be made along the way. The one that will kind of turn my stomach will be the Veterans Home thing. I saw that Representative Davids has written to his community that he also would like one of those local nursing homes in Preston, I believe, and I'd like to see that happen. Having that conversation, Representative Ward and I have talked since our last meeting, and to talk about how that conversation will go. I've even thought, speaking of tours, that because this is vitally important and because we are not solving the problem the way we're going, that maybe this committee should take one tour that simply visits every one of the veterans' homes. I've been to all of them. I'll tell you, there are some horrible-looking ones. The one in Silver Bay is an elementary school converted to where veterans live. It still looks like an elementary school. There are some that are very depressing. But when you go to Fergus Falls, there is, I'm seeing some people who've been there. It is a model that we should all see. And so I would think that might be time worth spending, that we would visit them all so we understand what the state has done, and then determine how do we want to go forward. And if we want to spend $50 million this year and $50 million next year, how will we assure that veterans are housed in ways that are safe and secure, as close to their family and friends as they want to be, and that we don't have a waiting list of 874 people that's growing every day? So that is the unfinished business. I do not look forward to the political points that will be scored around that, frankly, it seems to me it's one that we should be resolved to solve together.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Carlson?
No. Mr. Chairman, just to reinforce what Representative Hausman is saying, I'm not going to repeat her, as I view it, very accurate reflection of the history of bonding bills. But I think we also have to keep in mind the timing this particular year in terms of jobs and also interest rates. We don't know a year from now if we're going to experience the same environment in terms of construction bids. I could give you some examples in my time. One just that comes to mind is the athletic complex at the University of Minnesota Duluth. Some of you attended there. We had surprisingly good bids because it was a downtime, way below what we had anticipated what the cost of that facility would be. Another example that comes to mind was the music building at the U of M Twin Cities campus. And the bids came in way below what we anticipated, and they were back in with an amendment because they didn't originally think they could have a performing auditorium attached to the building, and they had to have an amendment within the same numbers because the bids were so good. Well, we're in that kind of environment right now. Good interest rates, the jobs are vitally needed, and I think those contractors are going to be making very competitive bids to get those projects and those jobs online. So I think the timing of this bill is very good.
Representative Davids?
I'll pass.
Members, any other closing comments? Seeing none, the business of this committee is done, so we are adjourned.